It is time for us to be joined by our friends at the Berkshire Edge, theberkshireedge.com. That's where you'll find them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with the latest information and news and feature stories from the area. And on a Wednesday morning, we are joined by David and Marcy on air. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning. We are over the edge.
That's right.
Yeah, that's very good.
We feel that way.
You guys have been over the edge for quite a while.
That's true.
Yeah, we've been totally over the edge many times.
Well,
we keep pulling ourselves back up, though.
I do have to admit, last week, I had to sit down in my chair after seeing the story. Advocates of civil rights leader and Great Barrington resident W.E.B. Du Bois won their battle to name a Great Barrington school after him. To me, it shouldn't have been a surprising decision, but I think the way that they handled it was the best way to handle it, and just make that decision and move on.
Yes, finally. I mean, it's been surprising. Such a battle over what would seem to be, an obvious choice to make would be to name the school after W.B. Du Bois, that grew up in Great Barrington,
And he was the most famous person or the most consequential person who ever
lived in Great Barrington.
Whoever grew up in Great Barrington.
Well, you got one guy that runs a radio station up in Albany that's pretty influential. I have to say that as well.
You mean Alan? Well,
yeah.
Well, he wasn't born in Great Barrington.
No, he wasn't.
No, but it doesn't matter. He still lives there.
He is
and
there.
He spends a lot of time on Fire Island. So besides,
Or did. But Du Bois was internationally known. I mean, this. Much as we admire Alan Chartok, his reach doesn't go quite that far.
You'd be surprised.
No, you should hear the way people at National Public Radio talk about him. He's known all over the country.
He really is, whether you
like Alan or not. He has made his footprint in broadcasting history. He really has.
Yeah, and it is a valid and huge. I mean, a good sized foot. It's a real. It's not ephemeral.
He is a national. We had a very sweet
story from him the other day. You know, he's our columnist as well, celebrating his 50th wedding anniversary, and talking about his 50-year marriage to Roselle.
And we had a picture of Alan
at their wedding.
Was he still wearing a baseball cap?
No, he was wearing a beard. He was wearing a beard.
A beard.
It'd be hard to recognize him, actually. But in any case,
they look very sweet. They sort of look like two dolls.
Back to Du Bois. Yeah. I mean, this has been as long as I've lived here. It's been very puzzling to me for me to understand why Du Bois hasn't been honored, but it's been really led by opposition to him. It's been led by kind of right wing military veterans who complain that he, in his old age, Du Bois was so frustrated with the lack of integration and of respect for black people in the United States that he abandoned the United States and he moved to Africa.
And he joined the Communist Party.
Yeah.
That's the thing that nobody will forgive him for.
Yeah.
That he was un-American.
Well, it's all over now, though, and I think it's a big step forward. I think it's good for the area. It's good for the Great Barrington.
Well, it was quite a fight.
Yeah, it was a fight.
There were something like 250 people sending emails around to the select board, opposing this. I mean, it was quite a fight,
and good for them for holding fast to this. To this purpose, which will, in retrospect, will be a very brave and honorable one to have made. So, Right. Good for them.
Moving on to your next story, and I'm going to lead into your next story with the following two stories. First of all, Gear Nursing and Rehabilitation Center has closed down their Gear Adult Day Center, which basically gave people a chance to get out and do things that were caretakers for family members or senior citizens or paid care, and still gave them a place to go and do things because of COVID-19. At the same time,
Did you say not because of COVID-19?
No, because of COVID-19. Because there's just too many regulations and that money that had to be spent. They just couldn't offer that on. But at the same time, Salisbury Visiting Nurse Association, Taconic Wellness out of Winstead, and Northwest Hills, all the different VNAs, have joined together in one company. Once again, it's for financial help. It also helps to have so many agencies that have duplicate services throughout Northwest Connecticut linked together. But you've got, and the reason I bring those stories up is because it goes now to South County, a victim of COVID-19 pandemic and contractual issues with Great Barrington. The Southern Berkshire Elderly Transportation Corp is shutting down. I mean, that it just goes in line with that story.
It does, but it's not necessarily bad news. If you read the story, the town of the town of Sheffield has been running its own transportation service. It's going to extend it into Great Barrington. There are a number of moves afoot to provide the same and perhaps even better service to Great Barrington and surrounding towns. So it's not just, you know, I mean, it is true, and apparently there were some real issues with the Southern Berkshire Elderly Transportation Corporation. They shut down very suddenly without notice. They continued to pay their people, which was very generous of them, during the 3 months that they've been shut down. But now they expect the town of Great Barrington to reimburse them for services not delivered. And
which is not legal by state law. The town can't do
right. The town is not allowed to pay for services it never received. So it's, you know, this is not, I mean, this is a kind of mismanagement story as well. I mean, it is too bad, but I think you know, the there will be a transportation service for the for seniors in Great Barrington and beyond, and you know, even the town of Sheffield, which is running its own, said that they feel that they have been doing just as good a job, and all is not lost.
No, it's we do have because we have such a committed area with so many different there are duplication of services that, especially in an area and at a time where we're going to be fighting a pandemic for at least 1 year, and there's additional where things can tighten up and the services can be deployed in a more efficient manner as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's not now, bad news. It's just if it would have happened without the pandemic. That's what, you know, that's always in the back of your mind, always.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, the other thing is that, you know, this program was serving more than Great Barrington. It was serving New Marlboro, Monterey, Otis, Sandusfield, Alford, Mount Washington, and Egremont. So, you know, while we may be able to, you know, quickly resume service somehow in Great Barrington, we don't know yet about the other towns. And they are quite remote, you know. So, you know, that is another issue. So, yeah. But I feel confident that something will happen.
All right,
that will make up for the service.
Your next story about a teacher at Taconic High School teaching a course in African-American literature has created a curriculum he calls, boy, he's going to get himself in trouble sooner or later, A Black Books Matter. I see what happens with Black Lives Matters, which I still don't understand all the hoopla against that, but Black Books Matter, it's an interesting story.
It is, and, you know, it's a clever name, too. I mean, he was just calling attention to the fact that, you know, there have been a number of, you know, African-American writers whose books are really embedded in our culture and kind of without notice. And I think it's a very, it's kind of a catchy phrase, of course, but it's good for him, you know, for pointing this out. It's not that controversial. It's been going on for a while that he's been teaching this course, but I think it's a brave thing to do, and good for him.
Well, I think also in the Department of Judging courses and books by their title, I think it's a good title, and I think that, you know, the more you read, the smarter you are. So
right, of course.
Now, I love your next story. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I love it. And that is the story on the Revolutionary War.
Where the folks, what do you mean? You don't agree with it.
Where Bennington, Vermont, Bennington, Vermont believes that they fought the battle that ended the war. I do have to think you have to bring the French in when the British had no place to go. When the French prevented the British from going anywhere and they had to surrender their high command. I think that had a little bit to do with it as well.
Well, No. I lived in Bennington for many years, and what this story is about is that every year in late August, the town of Bennington celebrates what they call Battle Day. In fact, the whole state celebrates it, and it's to commemorate the time that the colonists got together and ambushed the British, who were coming over to Bennington seeking a warehouse. They were out of supplies, and they heard about a warehouse in Old Bennington. So they were coming along the valley of the Hoosic River, just west of Bennington, and the Americans ambushed them there. And they weren't able to get the supplies that they desperately needed, and as a result, they lost that Battle of Saratoga. At least that's what the Bennington contingent contends.
I think that's a good contention, but once again, I'm not sure whether that, you know, and I know people, especially nowadays, would hate to admit to it, but the British had no place to go once the French really cornered them down south. They couldn't escape, and they couldn't fight anymore. More people should read into all the different stories of the Revolutionary War and the different towns around here, especially, that sent soldiers, and you can see letters. It really is an amazing time to read about the Revolutionary War. It's one of those things.
Well, the Battle Day, the Battle Day is quite something. I mean, it's a state, Vermont state holiday, and there's a huge parade in Bennington, and they go up to this monument, this obelisk that's in Old Bennington that stands on the place where on the grounds where that warehouse was once located. It's a huge obelisk that, by the way, you can go there and ride an elevator up to the top, it's quite a sight to see this celebration of this Revolutionary War victory, even though it may be a bit of a tall tale.
But
there's another point to the story that I want to point out.
No.
That this story is about rum also. It's about the fact that there was a very heroic black soldier who was part of the fight, who was fighting with the Patriots, and who was killed at that battle. And our author goes on to talk about the fact that this battle probably would not have been won if it weren't for the presence of rum, which was a very popular drink. And rum was sort of a necessity for all of the soldiers. They depended on it, which is an interesting thought. And in fact, all of the soldiers were provisioned with rum before heading into battle. And the fact that rum depended entirely on the slave trade and on the imprisonment and servitude of blacks who, you know, were enslaved and who worked on the rum plantations in the Caribbean. And so, you know, there was the trade of rum and slaves between New England and the Caribbean. And, you know, and so our author, Phil Holland, who's a very interesting guy, has made this connection between the Battle of Bennington and the winning of the war and the loss of black lives and the enslavement of black lives to keep this war machine going.
All right. So, it's an interesting story, as
not,
most...
Not to forget that point. whether or not the French won the war for us, the point is clear that there were African slaves who also, you know, were very important to the war effort that nobody recognizes.
All right.
Yeah, it's a little part of that story that, yeah, that it doesn't get enough play, actually,
right,
in the celebration of the Battle of Bennington.
Right, right. So that's really the point of this story.
And what's go on to your next story? Because,
yes,
once again, the Berkshire concert scene on September 12th, the West Stockbridge Chamber Players will give their final benefit concert.
Yes, and also there's another concert that we just put up last night there'll be a jazz, there'll be a number of outdoor jazz performances in Lenox this Saturday, the 12th. Berkshire Jazz, which ordinarily has a big festival at the end of the summer in Pittsfield, is not able to do that this year, but they are putting on a very interesting day of outdoor jazz performances in the town of Lenox. And in our Bits and Bytes column today, we have a story with the list of all the concerts and where they'll be and what time. And so that really, if it's a nice day, this should be a lovely thing to walk around Lenox and hear different jazz concerts.
You know, and I looked at your last story, and what's interesting is I just did a story, I think it was the day before yesterday, because it ran yesterday, that in New York State, with apple picking, that there are COVID-19 rules that have to be followed. But I mean, the state is allowing apple picking and going to these farms, but there's a lot of different COVID-19 rules. And
right,
you have a story about apple picking time in the Berkshires in Southern Vermont.
Right.
And is it the same thing there where each state has,
yes,
has different rules set up for the,
like
in New York State, you can't bring any young children and stuff like that, and you have to stay consent. Have to be with, like, if there's five people from your family that are there, you all have to stay around one another. You can't
with
go spread
pot
out. You know. It's so. So this is an interesting story that just coincides with the one I did on New York.
Right.
Well, there's another feature to this too. Is that many of these orchards, like Southern Vermont orchards, in Pownal, rely upon immigrant labor.
And migrant labor.
Migrant labor to, and they have, you know, to in order to, there's
places
a whole,
for them to stay.
They have places for them to stay, these little barracks, really. And this migrant labor comes, they start in the south and just come north as the harvests are coming to fruition, and they end up about this time of year in Southern Vermont to pick apples. And I don't know whether that is, the question is whether that this harvest can actually be picked this year.
Yeah, so the orchards need people to come and
pick
their apples, because otherwise the apples won't get picked.
Right.
I also want to point out that this article is part of the Berkshire Edge magazine section. You know, we were printing a really beautiful print directory of the season, but had to suspend print publication because of COVID. And so we've taken our magazine online. It is still dedicated, as the print magazine was, to places to go and things to do in the Berkshires. And so, you know, we have a number of articles in our magazine section about, you know, really interesting places to go and things to do. I mean, apple picking is one of them, but we have, you know, a driving tour. You can take a tour of the marble industry in the Berkshires and the remnants of the market, which is, you know, there are some old quarries that you can visit. And we have where you can rent boats up through October on a beautiful fall day to go out on a boat. So there are, if your listeners would just go to the Berkshire Edge and when you get to the menu, click on magazine, you'll see that there are a number of really interesting articles, including this one with a whole list of where the apple orchards are and what the hours are. And so it's a, I mean, it's a terrific resource for people who are looking for things to do in the Berkshires now.
And by the way, speaking of apple picking, I want to, as a final note here, I just recommend people read Robert Frost's poem about after apple picking time. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful poem about him picking apples. Mm-hmm. And it's Frost lived, after all, in Shaftesbury, Vermont. And there's a Frost house and museum in Shaftesbury which people can go visit.
And as we said earlier, reading is good.
And yeah. Oh, by the way, Frost is buried in Old Bennington.
So it ties it all together really perfectly. Yeah. I think you've done a fine, fine job.
I just think
Bennington cheering section.
Yeah, it is. Why not? Today.
I just think we go from rum to Frost. I think that's a way to end the show for today.
Well, actually, we're the same author. I mean, it's right. Phil Holland. Phil Holland, who, you know, for the first year of our magazine, was writing almost the entire magazine. You know, he has written both the story on the Battle of Bennington and the story on apple picking. So he is a wonderful resource for us.
All right. TheBerkshireEdge.com is where you'll find them all the time. And that is, of course, Marcy and David. And, of course, right here on Robin Hood Radio. We'll speak to you guys next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. That is The Berkshire Edge on air. TheBerkshireEdge.com is where you find them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.